Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope you're doing well, having an incredible day. So podcast sponsorship. Having companies basically pay you to run ads on your podcast is often seen as this golden goose when it comes to podcast success. We started working with sponsors on the STC podcast back in 2019, and these sponsorships have generated a little bit over $95,000 as I record this. But one of the things that I learned is just relying on sponsors or hoping that sponsors will be willing to reach out and sponsor the podcast, it's a little bit of a foolish proposition. The main reason is because one thing I've noticed is that the marketing budgets of sponsors and companies and all of this ebbs and flows depending on the season. And you don't want your entire podcast success to be based on someone else's marketing budget, right? Now, all of this being said, I'm so incredibly grateful for the sponsors that we have worked with and that we continue to work with. It's honestly been a wonderful experience, but I see sponsorships as having the cherry on top when it comes to podcasting income, i.e. it's not my main source of revenue for STC courses. Our Healthcasters, our podcasting course for therapists, as well as our two masterminds that help therapists launch their podcasts and then grow their podcasts, are kind of our two main revenue drivers. But in today's episode, I wanted to pull back the curtain a little bit and share three ways that you can start making money from your podcast from day one versus waiting like a year or two until you get a critical mass of downloads where you can then reach out to sponsors. Before jumping in, I wanted to share just a little bit of a personal story. To be honest, I was really, really, really scared when it came to running ads on this podcast. I felt this like deep loyalty to our field. And I felt this like immense, like in a good way, a good pressure to be a steward of the responsibility that I've been given with this podcast. And, you know, just to pull back the curtain even a little bit more, when we actually had a company reach out to me to sponsor the STC podcast before it even launched in 2015, but I declined it at that time, and I declined sponsorship requests for the first 4 years of the podcast. I feel like, one, I just needed to get my podcasting sea legs because clearly there was so much stuff I needed to learn and that I didn't have any clue about. And I also felt like I needed to build some trust and connection with listeners so that listeners knew when I did decide to go down the podcast sponsorship route, that I was doing my due diligence, that I wasn't like selling out. I wasn't just, you know, using this platform just to generate revenue for myself and all of that stuff, right? I feel this responsibility of being a good steward even more now especially as so many companies enter the mental health space and the mental health startup space. And I wanted to share specifically three ways that you can, again, start to make money from your podcast from day one. So the first way is one-on-one work. Now, this is the easiest first step. Literally, what I would do is pause this episode right now and take out a sheet of paper, go through your private practice and coaching website, or just think mentally, look at every niche that you work with. So if you want to go like really ninja, you can look at Google Analytics, look at some of your top performing blog posts, look at where visitors are going to the most. Side note on this, Google Analytics, there's just a lot of data and I found it like really overwhelming. So I started using this company called Fathom Analytics. So it's connected. It's very similar to Google Analytics. And actually, it pulls the same data from Google, but it's just in a way more cleaner and easier to understand. So definitely check that out if you haven't had a chance as well. It's called Fathom Analytics. But just getting back to what you really want to do is you could also start to look at some of your case notes of some of your most favorite clients and look for themes about what they came in for. So for example, as I jump back into private practice, I had planned to work with founders of businesses big and small who are growing, but the founders and the CEOs are struggling with depression and anxiety and grief and burnout, usually related to something either in the business or something outside of life, right? That's kind of got them off center. But there has been this niche basically of high-achieving parents raising high-achieving kids, particularly among South Asians. That niche seems to be really finding me in this recent season. So just even like be fully transparent on this, 2.5 weeks ago, I had a wonderful opportunity to do a workshop for 67 parents on this very topic on depression, anxiety, and high-achieving kids. And out of that workshop, there was a board member who was part of a larger organization. And in early May, I'm going to be doing another workshop, but this time to this organization that has 60,000 members. And it's just this incredible opportunity that I didn't realize I definitely have a passion for and an interest in, but it's just been really interesting. And so what I'm thinking about at a practical level is how do I create episodes for this podcast and then also what's called a private podcast, which is basically a offshoot of the STC podcast where I just record a select number of episodes and it kind of lives in perpetuity and into the future related on certain topics. And what you really want to do is on these solo episodes, at the end of these episodes, have a call to action to be an invitation to book a consult with you. Make sure that, of course, you mention states that you're licensed in as a clinician. To be completely honest, I just got my CIPAC approved about 2.5 weeks ago. So if you've never heard of this, this is just for psychologists and it's only for states that are already connected with CIPAC, but it basically allows licensure reciprocity as a psychologist. So I just got approved and I think I'm now licensed in 40 some states here in the US. And so what I'm really thinking about as I do these workshops and these solo episodes is casting a wider net, but speaking to a very specific type of person. Now, the challenge I'm having is STC is a very much a business and entrepreneurship podcast. And how do I weave in something like high achievement and depression, anxiety into topics for this podcast? Don't know quite yet, but I'm sure I'll, as with most things, I'll fail forward when it comes to this kind of stuff. So the second thing that I would really think about is think about the scalable work that you're already doing or want to do. So these could be like paid speaking opportunities, therapy groups, coaching group, books that you've written. Ideally, you want these things to be things that you are envisioning and continuing to do for the next 8 to 10 years. The main thing and the main reason for that is one thing I've noticed with podcasting is that people find our stuff months and years later. So you really want to think about stuff that people could find way later and kind of build almost like a flywheel where People are learning about the products and services and offers that you have, but they're living and breathing out there. So at a practical level, this is what it looks like for STC. And I'll share an example what it looks like for private practice, right? So for STC, at some point here in the not too distant future, I'm going to be creating what's called a private podcast. So this is basically, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, it is not your main podcast, and it's not even like a series of episodes within your main podcast, but it's almost its own feed. But it's kind of like, think of your podcast as a giant umbrella, and then you've got a tiny umbrella underneath it. I don't know if that's the best image, but that's the general thing I was thinking about. But basically, if there's a niche that you're getting known for, right, it's a really good idea to create a 5 to 7 episode podcast around that, with the call to action to sign up with you, to work with you. Practical example of this with STC. So I've had the good fortune of having this podcast since 2015. 2015 was also when we launched the Healthcasters podcasting course. We've had 233 of our colleagues go through this course and are part of our community. And so what I'm realizing is, and that course itself has made $317,000 in revenue. And so one of the things I'm going to be doing is creating a 5 to 7 episode private podcast on podcasting that is independent of the STC podcast. The call to action for that one particularly will be to sign up for our free podcasting workshop. I'm experimenting with a couple of different calls to action. So either it'd be one call to action, sign up for our podcasting workshop, or it will be two calls to action, like sign up for our podcasting workshop, and then also just mention about Healthcasters. The reason I wanted to mention that nuance is, one thing I found on podcasts is if you focus on individual episodes and you have higher priced offers, I would say anything above like 500, then you really should think about an intermediate asset that you drive the podcast episode traffic to.
Hi there, it's Melvin. I hope you're having a fantastic day. Before we jump into today's session, just wanted to let you know that our online course, Starter Kit for Therapists, is ready to go. This is a free 7-day email course to help you as a clinician validate your online course idea. I know so many of us want to create an online course, and we put this together full of the exact same exercises that we use in our online course, Mastermind for Therapists. You can check that out over at CourseCreatorStarterKit.com.
And then on that intermediate asset, sell your offer. So the best two intermediate assets that I've been working with are webinars and email courses. And so, for example, with the podcasting one, we would drive it to our free podcasting workshop, and then we would share an invite to purchase our course if they are interested. And on the private practice side, what I'm definitely thinking about right now is, again, this niche of high-achieving parents, navigating raising high-achieving kids, and things around, you know, depression and anxiety. I would definitely make sure I put caveats. This is meant for psychoeducational purposes, all of that kind of stuff. Either what I'm thinking is doing some sort of a consultation if it's an organization, or doing therapy. Again, it's stuff I got to sort of figure out, but it's just something to think about. If there's like scalable offers that you have, think about really creating a private podcast. The final way that you can monetize your podcast without relying on sponsors is obviously online courses. Online courses definitely take time and effort on the front end, and they take time to maintain. So for example, with the Healthcasters course, I go in twice a year. I literally have it blocked into my schedule where I'm like, Healthcasters update. And so I just kind of review everything and see if there's any videos that need to be updated or anything like that. But the best part of online courses is obviously you have this asset that now you can invite people to from your podcast episode, and or from your book, or from a stage, like if you're doing speaking. And it's an asset where then you can remove yourself. It doesn't require you to keep trading time for income. I feel like that's the model for many of us as clinicians. And I think many of us are realizing there are income caps to that. And there's also this element of burnout, right? And when you are seeing therapy clients and, you know, for year after year after year, right, the cumulative effect of that, it takes a toll on all of us, right? And so how do we just move beyond just that model so that we are, you know, better taking care of ourselves and practicing that thing that we talk so much about with our clients? Now, courses, I'll share what I've been planning to do for a few months. So again, and I mentioned this all earlier, so just to summarize, I'm planning on creating these mini, like a 5 to 7 part mini episode for podcasting, right? And for my big thing is, I want to direct traffic to our sellingthecouch.com, the website, right? And so I always think about what is the asset that we can create on the website? And then what are the different blocks that we can add that accentuate that asset? So a lot of high level, let me just give you the practical side. We're planning on creating an STC guide to podcasting. We had one a few years ago, but it just needed a little bit of a refresh. So it's not available live right now. But within that, there's going to be some written content. And then there is going to be basically, they can sign up for, there's also going to be videos and there's going to be audio only podcasts, right? And this is the part I don't know yet. What I'm thinking is if it's like a 7 part, like 7 sections to this guide, we'll have 7 different videos and then we'll have 7 of the audio, right? So I'll just retake that audio and then put it on our podcast host as a private podcast, take the video, put it on YouTube as a playlist that just has podcasting, and then the traffic from the private podcast and from the YouTube will be to back to this STC guide to podcasting. And then on some point during that STC guide, and probably in multiple places, I'll have an invitation to sign up for our free podcasting workshop. So the general strategy I use for STC and I'm planning to use for private practice is taking people from high authority content to our email list, because that's ultimately the asset that we can control, right? And then, so we'll have this highly authoritative blog post that will get found in Google. And then we have all of these assets that are compounding and working together. So I hope all of that makes sense. But just to review, you don't have to rely just on sponsors for your podcast. In fact, I think trying to just rely on sponsors, because especially for most of us, we aren't going to have like these massive downloads because we have like very niche audiences. Although it's entirely possible. We have colleagues in the Healthcasters community that are getting 50,000, 60,000, 80,000 downloads a month. So it just really depends on the niche that you're in. But just relying on sponsors is often, it's like, again, as I mentioned, the cherry on the top. Instead, what you can really focus on is one-on-one work, advertising that on the podcast, thinking a lot about the scalable work that you're doing, and thinking about how to create like a 3 or 5 part series, either within the podcast or separate from the podcast. And then you can also think a lot about online courses. I don't think, again, online courses, it's wise to start an online course in my experience when you already have a clearly established niche and you've built a quote unquote successful practice. So to me, that's usually that you are either kind of 5 years into the business journey or you're kind of hitting at that $80,000 to $100,000 in revenue. The main reason then is at that point, right, usually the tension that clinicians have is they're working too many hours and they want to kind of pull back, especially solo practitioners. And if you're then a solo practitioner, you're then thinking about group practices. But then as you sort of delegate stuff out, either you're going to have more free time or you realize that you don't necessarily want to be managing people all day. And so what does that look like? And how is that sort of shaped differently? So I had this, just wrapping up, I had this really deep fear when I started this podcast back in 2015 that I was way too late to the game. I remember people and I remember lots of conversations happening in Facebook communities around this, like, are we too late to podcasting? Is it too late? And Turns out, in hindsight, we were just at the beginning. And here's the interesting thing. I feel like in many ways we still are. And the main reason is because I think a lot of times we think somebody starting a podcast, they just keep going forever, right? Whereas the reality is most people start podcasts and they do it for like a couple of years and then they either decide to stop or they kind of just like focus on something else or something like that, right? So there's always new people coming in. But if you look at the general stats of podcasting, is it's continuing to grow up and it's projected to go up well into like the 2030s. So if you are a therapist that's listening and you are interested in starting a podcast, we have our Healthcasters podcasting community, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/join the Healthcasters. But what I actually would recommend is go through our free podcasting workshop. It's about 90 minutes long. And I just believe in like high quality teaching. So you're going to learn all about gear and strategy and all of these kind of different things and all of basically a ton of mistakes that I made with this podcast as we've continued to grow it. We recently passed the 1.8 million download mark and we now have listeners in around 120 countries from around the world. That free workshop is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. Have a great rest of your day and I appreciate you for taking the time to tune in. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.